This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Heiter Construction. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending. Right now. Wait, no, no, wait. Let's find out what's trending right now.
What's trending? The economy.
You okay in there?
We're working on stuff.
Okay. You want to make it a little bit lower so my eardrums don't explode?
No.
I'm just throwing that out there as a potential issue that could occur in over the course of this show if it's as loud as it was in my headphones, especially to the people.
I can go louder.
That was the loudest.
You want me to go quieter?
That was the loudest audio I've ever heard in the history of audio.
Can I go quieter this time?
Yeah, just a little bit.
What's trending?
Well, that's too low. Now I can't even hear what she said.
That's too low?
That was too low. I couldn't even hear it.
You're so particular.
Can I get on with the story? Jeez.
Yeah, go.
Okay. The inflation report came out. It's certainly better than what it was last month. Or the month before, I should say. It's certainly better. It went from 9.1% year over year to 8.5%. Now, part of the reason it went down was because of the gas prices going down. That brought down the consumer price index. But as we've said multiple times on the show, the reason why gas prices went down was because we priced so many people out that they stopped buying gas, which impacted the demand, but not the supply. And so naturally, the prices started to come down. But the fact of the matter is, we are in a significant crisis. Democrats don't want to acknowledge that, at least the politicians. But you've got people like Larry Summers, who was the econ dude under Obama, who doesn't care if it's politically hurtful, antagonistic, to acknowledge the facts, but that's what he did on MSNBC.
I still think we have a very serious inflation problem in this country. I don't think that inflation problem is going to go away of its own volition. And so I think we're likely to have some quite turbulent times ahead.
Indeed. That does not sound like a good prognosis for the economic situation for all of us. And when you look specifically at the items in which you are currently being impacted the most, just look at grocery prices over the last year, 13% higher. That's the single largest annual increase since 1979, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. 13% more you are spending across the board. Now, again, depending on what it is you purchase, you're going to get hit a little bit harder than others. So, for example, if you are someone who loves eggs and you're pretending that you're eating them so that you can bulk up, because it turns out eggs are some of the most nutritious foods there are, and especially popular for people on keto, well, you're spending 38% more on eggs. Chicken is up 17%. Milk is up 15%. Ground beef, 10%. Bacon, 9%. Fruits and vegetables, 9%. You're spending a whole bunch more there, but I'm told by President Biden that inflation is actually zero.
I just want to say a number. Zero. Today, we received news that our economy had 0% inflation.
No, you didn't. You did not get that. Now, what he's saying is 0% increase from the month before. It is so ludicrous. It is so absolutely ludicrous the way that he wants to spin it. And he'll spin and spin and spin until he falls over out of due to dizziness or just, you know, he's struggling, man. He's struggling.
He's not doing too hot.
Did everyone else see the video of him? Well, there's two videos actually within the last 24 hours that are legitimately concerning. And I say this not to make fun of him, although it was funny. But he couldn't put on his jacket. And while putting on his jacket finally after his wife helped him, I guess his aviator sunglasses fell that he still thinks he looks cool in. You don't, dude. Just, you gotta stop, man.
I mean, is there any style of sunglasses that he would act like really
look
good in?
No, he's 100 years old.
Exactly.
And that's okay, by the way. You don't have to look cool. You don't have to look cool. You're the president. That should be cool enough. And then this part was just kind of sad and weird. He tried to shake Chuck Schumer's hand twice. I don't even understand what I saw in that video.
Yeah, that one was disheartening to
see.
Right?
There was just something off. And I don't know, was he actually trying to go for a second handshake because he forgot he already shook the guy's hand?
It seemed like it. It seemed like, because right? He was the first one that got his handshake.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Schumer then went backwards down the line. And then it was like Biden wanted to get dapped up again while he went down the line the other way.
It was sad. It legitimately, this was the first time I think I felt sadness in my life.
Wow.
And it was towards Joe Biden, but he's lying.
The economic plan is working. The second is building an economy that will reward work.
Really?
Wages are up this month, provide opportunity, help the middle class, and still have work to do, but we're on track.
Oh, we're on track. Really? We're on track? Didn't you just hear what Larry Summers said? Here's the deal. Inflation is real. It's not 0%, and it's impacting a lot of you people listening right now. There was an economics expert that was on with NBC News earlier.
Higher income consumers just have more room to be able to adapt to inflation, right? They can downgrade to store brands or lower less expensive stores. But people who are living paycheck to paycheck just don't have that room in their budgets.
They don't have that room in their budgets. And what is happening in the next few weeks or few days, I guess, depending on where it is you live, there's a certain event that happens around this time, and parents are especially attuned to it, or teachers or future teachers. They know what's coming up. What is it?
Seafair.
That was last weekend.
Oh.
You mean back to school, dummy.
Back to school. Oh, I get my S's confused. Back to school.
It's back to school. People are gearing up to go back into the classroom. You're sending kids back into the classroom. You're sending teachers, reluctantly, I guess, back into the classroom. There's a whole group of future teachers getting ready to go into the classroom. Just a random spot, like Auburn School District. When do they start?
I believe September 6th-ish.
Okay, so
somewhere in that.
Which is odd, because it's not like you have kids. I don't know why you would know that.
That's my old school stomping grounds.
I couldn't tell you when school districts start anywhere.
You're thousands of miles away from yours. I don't expect you to understand.
I'm just saying. But inflation is going to hit a lot of parents who've got kids going back into schools.
And so let's take a look at how this applies to back to school, because this is a huge industry when we talk about the goods and services that are needed in back to school, right? $37 billion this year is what is expected that shoppers will spend on back to school shopping. That's an average of more than $850 per household. Now, JLL, which is a commercial real estate group, looks at the spending habits. First, take a look at if you are from a family that is unaffected by inflation. You are going to spend
rich
on average
people.
32% more this year on school supplies. If you are from a family that is significantly
poor
affected,
people,
you will spend 15% less. What is all the more tragic about this, Lindsay, is when you talk to families, whether it's polling or whether it's just anecdotal on the street evidence, they prioritize schooling and education.
Yep.
So it is a shame that some families will just this year, because of inflation, because of where the economy is, not be able to spend as much on school supplies.
Yeah.
It is sad what people are going through. And you know what? A lot of parents, of course, are going to sacrifice for their kids. And we're not talking about frivolous things that they don't even need as they go back to school. Because sometimes, obviously, back to school shopping for clothes, for example, could be technically frivolous, even though it means a lot to these kids who don't want to be going back to school with the same stuff they wore last year. But we're talking about just buying a backpack that you need to get. We're talking about the cost of getting your kid to school because of the gas prices being still much higher than where they were under Trump. And all of this adds up. All of it adds up. And it's going to hurt a whole bunch of families. And rather than be honest about what's going on, rather than take us through the plan you have to fix this, you have Joe Biden out there yet again just saying, oh, no, 0% inflation. Oh, no, our economic plans are working. You guys are wealthier because of us. You're just ignoring the pain, and you're doing it for political purposes. To what end? You're not going to win this battle, because every single person can't be spun out of what they experience every day. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text. 1-800-465-877. 8770. I'll be on Fox News at night later on this evening, 9 o'clock hour. Hope you'll tune in. If you can't, don't worry. We post all of our hits on youtube.com/JasonRants. Tomorrow morning, 6:40 a.m., I'll be on Newsmax and the National something. National Report? Yeah, National Report. I'm excited about that, as you can tell. Push the button.
So excited.
Oh, shut up and push the button.
What's trending? Your health.
Washington is having a monkeypox outbreak. Now, again, when we're talking about it, an outbreak in this sense, we're only talking about in Washington 210 cases. Okay?
Outbreak.
It's technically an outbreak, I guess,
because
you're not supposed to have any monkeypox cases in this country, and they're growing, but it's growing at a very slow pace. It has the potential to grow very rapidly once school starts. Because even though kids are not hit hard by monkeypox in particular, the older kids are. The 16, 17, 18-year-olds, the college students especially, they're going to start hooking up. And again, even though we're not supposed to say this because apparently it's stigmatizing, the people who are impacted the most are gay men. And turns out in college, men love to hook up. You know why?
Why?
Because they're men.
Ah.
Men science. Love to hook up, period. And when you are able to hook up with other people who love to hook up, then there's the potential for the spread of monkeypox. Right now in King County alone, as at least of yesterday, 183 of those 210 cases. And I'm willing to bet most of those are from Seattle. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you probably don't have many cases in Enumclaw. I'm just throwing that out there. I could be wrong. Perhaps you'll find one in North Bend. I probably am right when I say they're coming out of Seattle and probably out of UW.
It can also spread through prolonged face-to-face contact through respiratory droplets. Those are the main ways that the disease spreads. It can also spread through contact with contaminated objects and clothing.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Duchin of King County, Seattle Public Health.
Child cares and schools should be aware of monkeypox and should continue to follow standard hygiene practices that prevent monkeypox and other infections.
Except we don't have enough of the vaccines out there. So he says, in context, I guess monkeypox can be comparable to COVID.
Thankfully, monkeypox is not going to be as pervasive as COVID-19, but for the community that is impacted, it's just as bad in many ways.
It's not just as bad, or maybe it is just as bad. I would argue monkeypox is worse. Now, when he's saying just as bad, understand the new context of saying that when you're comparing it to COVID. COVID is a nuisance. COVID, for the vast majority of people, is a nuisance. You're sick, maybe very sick, like with the worst cold or flu you've had in a while for about 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. You get the high temperature. You get a cough that maybe sticks with you for a bit. It lingers for a bit. You stop coughing after the second day of lingering, it felt like.
That lingered like 4 or 5 days.
That shows you how much I pay attention to you.
You don't pay attention at all.
I don't. And I was out of town for 3 of those days, so I didn't get to watch you cough like a dope in there. But it went away, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to deal with a lingering cough? No.
No.
Was it the end of the world that you dealt with a lingering cough? No. Monkeypox, I think, is way worse. Because of the literal pox that looks like monkeys on your face.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, little pock marks. They look like ugly boils that scab over. They're disgusting. They're apparently really painful. And I suppose part of that depends on where they are on your body, because they could get, you know, downstairs and backstairs.
Is King County Health going to recommend shower curtains again like they did with coronavirus?
I hope not. But although I will say, because I did this on Tucker Carlson's show 3 weeks ago, the CDC put out insane advice on how to still hook up while you have monkeypox.
There's no way they went to the length of a shower curtain, though.
Not shower curtain. But they did say, with your clothes on. Because you're basically covering up some space on your body, some mass that might have some of the monkeypox.
Limiting skin-to-skin contact.
Yeah, it's just like, how about just don't hook up if you've got monkeypox? If you're seeing someone who's got a bunch of scabs, just don't hook up. And again, remember, monkeypox starts apparently with flu-like symptoms. So maybe some people might think that they have COVID. Regardless, when you feel sick, don't hook up. Don't hook up. It's okay. The hookup will be there. Probably not, if I'm being honest, in 2 weeks. But so what? You'll find someone else.
I don't know, Jason. REO Speedwagon said it best, and you just can't fight this feeling sometimes.
The hell are you talking about?
It's an REO Speedwagon song.
Oh, my God.
And I just can't fight this feeling anymore.
Oh, my God.
No? Are you not familiar?
Fighting for.
See? So you are familiar.
Something on the floor. I can't stop this feeling anymore. Push the button.
What's trending in Peyton's world?
I wonder if now in retrospect, people will have picked up on the constant comments that I've made about you and teaching. It's certainly possible that it's gone over everybody's head, because unless you know what it is I'm talking about, and none of you do, except for maybe your roommate, past roommates who listen to the show because they're super fans, no one will know what I was talking about, including just in the last 10 minutes in which I asked you specifically about the Auburn School District.
Correct. You do about once per hour the last couple of days, but I don't think anybody ever caught on.
I thought I did during on Friday of last week from CPAC. I'm sure I almost basically said it.
You did.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's just – so I don't understand if people were picking up on this. But Peyton has an announcement. And I'll let you make it.
Oh, you're going to let me? Okay, cool.
See, Peyton has an announcement that is incredibly important that we have to put out there.
Okay, so.
Because if we don't put it out there, people are going to wonder next week, why is there this new strange voice on the show?
Yes.
And we would not want that to happen at all. And so I'm giving you the opportunity to tell us your story.
Cool, thank you so
much. Because by allowing you to tell the story, you have total control over the narrative.
And I know.
And I would never take away that moment from you to explain what is happening over the course of the next few days.
No, and I'm
that would be rude of me to just take that away from you. And I, if anything, people say, Jason, you are kind and you lack a sense of selfishness. You're always willing to give other people the time to do what they need to do. So please go ahead.
No, you've always
because
been great.
Because this is incredibly important time for you that I'm just giving to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So coming up and next week will be my last day here on the Jason Ranch Show next Wednesday, as Jason has hinted for the last few weeks. I am taking a position in education. I am moving on and going to become a teacher. See? Kids are on my side.
The kids like it.
Yeah.
So you're becoming a teacher. What will you be teaching?
I'll be teaching a CTE course called VizCom. The kids don't like VizCom?
No, they don't even know what the hell that is.
So it's visual communications.
What do you know about visual communications? You literally work at a radio station, which means it's all audio.
We do visual.
No, we don't.
Do video.
I do visual with my words. I paint pictures. What do you know about visual communications? VizCom.
VizCom, exactly. Yes, visual communications.
I don't even know what that means.
Visual communications.
Yeah, no, what is Viz, like advertising?
Viz is visual.
No, I got that okay. Part, but what is it? What are you teaching? What is the...
VizCom is overall graphic design, video, audio, photo
editing.
You know
editing. How to do any of that?
I know how to do lots of that.
Where in God's name have you been as I've struggled to get good art for this show?
Do you know outside of here, like I do a bunch of broadcasting and sports media stuff where a lot of the time I'm having to operate my own cameras,
what?
Set up my own stuff.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Since when?
I've been doing that since 2016.
Here?
No, well, in this region, yeah. Shoot a lot of, video, photo, social
Actually,
media.
Actually, I legitimately had no clue that he did.
I'm pretty...
I know the broadcasting stuff. I haven't seen a single thing they've ever produced.
I mean, I do...
Other than boy howdy.
There's video stuff that goes along with everything that I do. I shoot a lot of... I've done social media, which is in that. Essentially, part of my position will kind of be an overarching media view where we're working on social media stuff and digital media. A lot of that sort of context allowed me to introduce some of my own curriculum in that sort of way down the road.
Will I be a guest speaker?
You don't have time to be a guest. I know
you're talented. If I had time.
If you have time and you want to talk to children, but A, you hate talking to children.
Truth.
B, you hate doing things as a favor to other people.
Truth.
C, you don't want to take time out of your busy day to talk to a bunch of snot-nosed high schoolers.
That was an extended yay. So when's your last day?
Wednesday. The 17th. I forgot
it's
what.
The 17th.
The 17th.
It's the 17th. We have a brand new
today.
Producer. This is not news to me. This has been, when did you tell me? A month and
six
a half
weeks
ago?
Ago?
6 weeks ago.
I gave you 6 weeks of notice.
Yeah, which, and by the way, he has slacked the entire time. We have a brand new producer who starts on Monday. We're excited to have him. His name is Max. He's coming all the way from Oklahoma, which is where he currently works. He's actually from Woodinville. Right?
I was told Bothell, but I could see how...
Same area.
I could see how somebody from Woodinville would just be like, oh, yeah, I'm from Bothell.
Which also reminds me, I'm pretty sure I did not send out the all-staff email announcing that we hired him.
No, you did not. You have not sent that out. You just announced it on the show for the first time.
Well, I don't care about people out there. I'm just...
You should inform our internal staff before you inform it out. The millions.
They'll figure it out. They'll be like, who is this new person? I guess I don't see Peyton anymore. Who's getting your office?
I don't know, but I figured I was going to auction it off in the office and do like some grand auction and make
your
it cash.
Your office is quite literally the size of a bathroom stall, not the wheelchair accessible one either.
No, not. It's the small stall.
Quite literally a closet.
I think the first week I had that office, I bashed my forearm on the door handle trying to squeeze in, and my forearm swelled up. I had a huge bruise.
Well, we'll give you your official send-off next week. I can say categorically to the folks who are listening, of the four or five producers I've had, Peyton is definitely in the top five.
Oh, yay.
I can confidently say that, and people say, you don't compliment people enough. He is easily in the top five.
Top five, baby. How many did you say that you had?
Five.
Top five.
Might have had four.
Do I still make the top five?
Yeah, you're still in the top five. Have I had Nicole, Darren, Tom, Taylor, Matt? Okay, yeah, five. No, six.
Jeff? Wasn't Jeff one of yours? Or no?
Not solo. Okay. That doesn't count. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text and wish Peyton a horrible future, because he's going to be dead to us on Wednesday. Go ahead and do that. Look at that. It's 3:30 on a weekday afternoon. You know what that means?
What does that mean, Jason?
We do our normal segment at 3:30.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Seattle has too few police officers. We know that. We've been talking about that on the show, frankly, for several years, including 2 or 3 years before COVID, before George Floyd, before bad policies. We've been talking about that in Seattle, or at least I have, for years. And the city right now is trying to figure out, okay, how do we effectively police a city when we are struggling to meet minimum staffing levels across the city at different precincts? That's not safe for the community. It's not safe for the cops. So what can we do? Well, we're finally getting some ideas thrown out there. It seems odd that it's taken this long to come up with some specific ideas, but that's the reality. One of the ideas coming from still interim chief Adrian Diaz, we expect he's going to be announced as the chief, but we'll see. He's come out and said, hey, how about this? Let's cut the number of cops at sporting events. Because right now we are throwing a whole bunch of officers there. Some of them are doing crowd control. Others are doing traffic control. We have to, but maybe we can do it with a few less, a few smaller group of officers, depending on the event, depending on how many people that are going to show up. And, you know, he's throwing out some specific teams. He started with the Huskies. That was mentioned first. And part of the reason I'm assuming he starts with them is that UW has its own police department. Maybe they can step up in a bigger way and take control of this. Or maybe you count on the county to step up. He mentions the Seahawks. He mentions the Mariners. He does not mention, by the way, the Sounders, which I would argue has because they have the largest Antifa crowd, you probably do want cops at those games. He doesn't mention the Storm because they're all progressive dudes in the audience who have man buns, and they're only there thinking that they're going to get a hookup.
You don't think Antifa shows up to Storm games too?
The female ones. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll give you that. But in fairness, can they really afford to go to two games in a week? Because Sounders tickets will set you back $40, right? Or $30, something like that.
Yeah,
I've literally never paid for
40 on the low, 40 on the low end.
I'm talking about on the low end. They can't. You think they're getting a suite? Antifa people, their parents give them $20 a week in allowance. That's about it, and that's not enough. They have to save up for 2 weeks just to get the bottom rung tickets to a Sounders game. You think they can afford the $7 tickets to go see the Storm?
I mean, I guess not. Sorry for bringing that up.
Yeah, my gosh. You don't have to rub it in for them, man. So maybe this is something that can happen. Now, to be clear, the SPD is reimbursed for the services that they provide when we're talking about these big stadiums. They are reimbursed. This is not about money. This is about staffing. Some of this is determined outside of the city. Department of Homeland Security, for example, they have a certain number of minimum staff that you need because of a potential terrorist attack or a potential serious issue that happens at these stadiums. These are often considered soft targets. And obviously, if you were to, God forbid, have a terrorist attack at one of these stadiums, that's a mass casualty event. So they're not saying going to zero, but it feels unnecessary to have outside the bare minimum for a terrorist attack. And even then, if, again, God forbid that were to happen, officers will get there very quickly. They're dropping everything that they're doing to get to Century or to T-Mobile Park or Lumen Field, whatever it is. They obviously wouldn't go after Key Arena because 17 people go to a Storm game. And so that wouldn't be an actual target. But maybe they would go after the Space Needle, which would have more people on the observation deck than in the seats at a Storm game.
You have such a bone to pick with women's sports. I'm just saying.
So outside of that, which is still very unlikely, because even terrorists have standards and they don't want to come and walk over homeless people and use needles and human waste on our sidewalks, it feels like this is a relic of the past, needing to have police officers in and around a sporting event. I know that the concern is someone gets a little rowdy because they're drunk. They're not sending officers to deal with those people anyway.
No, I think, you know, I think about this a lot when I go in and out of the stadiums. And like last night I was at the Mariners game. When they do the traffic control outside of T-Mobile Park, I think that that clears intersections and it does keep everything going, even though the stoplight should be able to do that. But in a high traffic situation, you're just going to get clogged intersections like no other with those sort of with no police.
I'm not saying no police.
Yeah,
I'm simply saying you don't need as many.
Yeah, less
because
police.
Even in that case, the last game I went for the Mariners, whatever, they gave me free tickets. I mean, that's when I go. And only if it's in the good section, which I can't name. I don't remember the name of.
Diamond Club.
That thing. You have a lot of officers who aren't really doing much. They're there because you have to have them there. That's it. You don't need four officers on Edgar Martinez Way.
Yeah, they send them way down the block, like, all the way to like Krispy Kreme, and yeah, you could do it.
That's not necessary. Yeah, that's not necessary, especially here, because a lot of people do walk over, because a lot of folks take light rail. People will park in Seattle. A lot of Seattle people are coming. I've never really had even on the last time I went, and we stayed to the end of the game. It wasn't awful getting out of the parking lot. It wasn't that congested. I mean, granted, again, we had the really good parking because I'm a celebrity. Right? It's not even that bad.
No, but
you can get away with fewer cops.
Yeah. Let's test it.
There you go.
Let's test it. Give it a beta.
What?
Beta. Like when you test apps and stuff, okay. It's a beta.
So you were there last night.
I was.
Anthony Fauci delivered the ceremonial first pitch. He was offered the Hutch Award, which normally goes to baseball players who contribute to the community outside of the baseball diamond. In this case, he was the right kind of person to honor, and they're still pretending that he is like a god to them. Folks on the left love Anthony Fauci. And there was a tweet that went around with video from someone in the crowd, and it was labeled, "The crowd boos Anthony Fauci. Overwhelming," they said, and they pointed to this clip.
For Fauci, we have to announce the President's ceremonial first pitch.
Boo!
Manager, stop
pandemic, loser!
Which, by the way, is an awful, awful jeer. You're going to miss it like you missed the pandemic. I don't even know really what that means. I guess I understand what you're saying. That's not a good drag. Okay. The crowd did not overwhelmingly boo by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Not even a little bit. And the people who are claiming otherwise, that is wishful thinking. Believe me, I wish he was booed overwhelmingly, because it would mean that we finally, even in Seattle, have rejected his nonsense. This guy has been wrong on almost every single aspect of COVID. Almost every single aspect, he has been wrong. He deserves to be booed, or at least not cheered. I don't boo. I'm polite. I just won't say anything. Even in that clip, it doesn't sound like a whole bunch of people were booing. You had three people who happened to work at another radio station in this market. Okay, those are the ones who were booing. That's it. That's it. You were there. I got a message from someone who was there and said he got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Why people think that he was booed in Seattle other than wishful thinking is beyond me. Because, again, even in that clip, you could hear that there weren't that many boos. And if you saw it, you could see people standing up.
Yeah, there was a lot of people standing up. You could hear, like, the one or two scattered boos, like the video has, like, one person.
If you can count how many people are booing.
On one hand.
It means there weren't that many people booing.
Correct, yeah. And no, it was a heavy cheer for Fauci. I will say the one weird thing, there was quite a handful of people outside with anti-Fauci signs, like, protesting the event.
What does that mean? How many? A dozen?
A dozen right next to the Ken Griffey Jr. statue.
Okay. That is not a lot.
No, but, I mean, in context of at the gate, like, that's all you're hearing besides the preacher dude on the megaphone.
Usually you only get the preacher guy.
Yeah, so now you had the preacher guy and a dozen people protesting Fauci with signs.
I wish people would stop doing that. Not the protest part, but, like, at games.
Yeah.
Just go away. And, again, in fairness, I wish they would stop giving awards to people like Anthony Fauci at games. Stop. He's bad. He's a bad person. Sorry. He loves himself, but he's generally a bad person. I will say, because he did an interview with some, I think it's a Republican War Room podcast. How do I say this? Made love to himself during the interview.
Ew.
Verbally.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's audio. What do we think? I was going to play a video?
It's called the Fauci effect.
Oh, my God.
Which is sort of like, you know.
Oh, my God. As,
trust me, I don't get excited about that.
This faux modesty, and of all the things I know faux modesty. As someone who is brilliant, I understand faux modesty. Because I'm always constantly, oh, no, I'm not as good as you claim, but please tell me more. It is sickening.
I mean, it's nice, but I mean, people go to medical school now. People are interested in science, not because of me, because people, most people don't know me, who I am. Okay. My friends know me. My wife knows me. But
do they truly know you? What does it mean to know you?
People don't. Know me. It's what I symbolize.
Oh my God!
And what I symbolize.
Oh no! Don't say
in
it.
A,
don't do it.
In an era of
my God.
The normalization of untruths.
He's doing it.
And lies.
Oh, no, he's not
going
to stop.
And all the things you're seeing going on in society.
They all acknowledge at this point that they lied about the vaccine in order to convince you to take it, and they lied about the masks. We have the emails, but please tell us in the world in which we don't understand the truth.
From January 6th to everything else that goes on. People, the craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people.
Oh, my God. He loves himself. I mean, he was blushing during that.
You know, Fauci's kind of a quitter because he didn't stay for all 13 innings last night. He was up in his suite. Sure, he was gone by the ninth. That thing emptied out quick.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a mask on?
He did not.
Okay, at least there's that. I'll give him that. Because it's outdoors, dummy. How many masks were on in the stadium, by the way? When I was there, I was pleasantly surprised. Not that many.
No, not that many. I saw a handful in my section, but I also wasn't, like, looking for people wearing masks.
Was it your people?
No.
Okay. I meant Asians. No, I'm kidding. I meant your crowd. 1-800-465-8770. Push the button. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Last night in Los Angeles, there was a council meeting where they were debating a new policy around homelessness. And it might as well have been Seattle or Portland or San Francisco or New York or Atlanta or D.C. because the same kind of incidents are erupting. Although I will acknowledge this. What happened in L.A. last night at this council meeting went one step further than what we've seen locally. And while I don't normally like to play long-form clips of local news stations, because all local news TV is generally not up to what I would consider to be airable for a radio show in long form, This one, I thought, from KTTV was worth it.
For the second time in 2 weeks, the LA City Council meeting is interrupted by protesters speaking out against a measure aimed at banning homeless encampments within 500 feet of schools and daycare centers. Before the council could vote on it for a third and final time Tuesday, a woman climbed over the chamber's benches.
No, sergeants.
Shouting obscenities at Council President Nuri Martinez.
I will say this was a rather girthy lady, and if it were not for the girth, probably would have been able to make it towards the council members much faster and possibly do some significant damage. So kudos to the carbohydrates that she is addicted to and to the officers who got in her way. They are fighting passionately to keep people on the streets. Remember, this is a bill that would stop encampments from being set up within 500 feet of a school or a daycare center. They are fighting to keep dangerous homeless people, some of whom are dealing with mental health issues, others are dealing with addiction, some of them are sex offenders who ended up living on the streets because they can't find an apartment to live in. They are fighting to keep them closer to schools. In LA County, which has had a whole bunch of policies that have been permissive of homeless encampments, even they are saying, okay, we have our limits. This is too much. Understand that activists are pushing against even the most basic ideas, all so that they can keep people living out on the streets. The more people living out on the streets, the easier it is to use them to leverage a council or a county council or a mayor or a governor or whatever to commit to subsidized housing, because that's their end goal. They just want free housing. They don't want to treat the underlying issues around why the person became homeless to begin with. They simply want free housing. They want that studio apartment in downtown LA or that studio apartment here in Capitol Hill. That is what they're hoping for. And unless you're willing to give them that, they will keep people living out on the streets. I'm no longer going to pretend that some of these people are doing it with the best of intentions and they're just misguided. I don't believe that in a lot of these cases. Because if they had the best of intentions, if their heart was in the right place, they would look at what they've done over the course of the last several years where they have had all of the power, and they would say, maybe this isn't working. They would realize that it is hurting people, not helping them. And if they actually cared about these people, they would step back. They would say, okay, it's time for us to try something different, rather than continue to commit to more extreme versions of bad policies that failed in the past. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.